Today, heal our land. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 12th of June, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, Updates. Excuse me. And before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, welcome to the program. And a little tidbit for my other Welsh kinsmen, and especially for those of us who came and settled here in the New World or North America. You are speaking Welsh every morning when you wake up and greet your father when he comes out and say, "Hi, Dad, how are you doing?" Because the word dad is from the Welsh language. It's their word for father. So now you know where the word dad came from. Over here, as the Israelites settled in this North American continent over a very long period of time, we adopted many words from many of our host nations, whether it be German, French, Swiss, Austrian, Scandinavian, Celtic, Saxon, you name it, we've got it. That's why English, as we speak it today in America, is considered one of the toughest languages to learn. That's why many nations of Europe and others have their children start to learn English at a very young age, when the mind is much more adaptable, much more able to pick up the nuances and the strange idiosyncrasies that are in the English language. But if you think about it, the American English, anyway, sort of fits the prophecy of the coming together of the tribes, doesn't it? The tribes came here, meaning the white Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Christian Israelites, came to this continent, and they brought their customs and their languages, and they sort of all merged together. And so our customs and our language represent a little piece of many different tribes or nations. That brings something to mind. So many of our people confuse race with nationality. Now, before all the race mixing and the modern era came, you might say that a country or a nation were almost synonymous, because nation is based on race, whereas country is based on geographical boundaries. For instance, many years ago, if I said I was English, that would be synonymous with saying I'm white. Or even American. True Americans, the only ones authorized to be citizens of this nation, were European white people. However, today that's not true, and so therefore we must keep this distinction between those two terms in mind. When somebody says, "I'm a bastard," or "I am a racial mix, and therefore I have trouble accepting the identity message," I often point out to them that race and nation and country are not all synonymous. Yes, you are made up of many different tribes. For instance, in my family, it's a mixture of Saxon English, Irish, Welsh, and German. But that does not make me a bastard. It does not make me non-white. It just makes me multi-tribal. And I've heard people say that Yahweh commanded the tribes to stay within the tribes. I don't recall reading that. I have to admit, I have not researched it extensively lately. However, if that's true, then virtually all of us are in big trouble. Therefore, I conclude that if Father meant for that to be so, he would have made it abundantly clear, both in the written word and the law that's on my heart. And I don't know about your heart, but my heart does not say that I cannot commingle with a member of a different tribe as long as they are Israelite or Caucasian. Again, if I am wrong, Father, punish. So be it. But keep that in mind when we talk about these things, especially those here in America who have what we call Native Americans, which is really a misnomer, because it was Israelites who settled here over 3,500 years ago. Archaeologist Stephen Collins, in his books, makes it very, very clear. And he's not the only person in academia who has substantiated the fact that we have been here. Even the TV show on the History Channel called America Unearthed has brought forth evidence to substantiate this. Of course, a national television show on the Talmud vision is not going to put the pieces together completely. But if you know who's who, and you have some historical and biblical roots, you can ascertain that that program was justifying the works of Stephen Collins, Barry Fell, E. Raymond Capt, and many other archaeologists. As the scripture says, if the truth be not told, the stones will cry out. The stones will cry out. I found it interesting every time I read that, as I see archaeology turning up more and more and more evidence of who we are and the truth of this message. Now again, our ancestors were here 3,500 years ago. That's 3,500 years ago, and many stayed here in North America. They became what was later referred to as the White Indians, and in some cases, the civilized tribes, because there were Asiatic Indian tribes here at different points, and there were some who came up from South and Central America at different times. They were not of our race, obviously, and therefore the distinction between the Red Indians, meaning non-white, and the White Indians. So just because you have, let's say, Cherokee or Cherokee blood in you does not make you an alien. And I stand here to challenge anybody who's telling my brothers and sisters who are in that condition that they don't belong in the house of Israel. Also, I would also point out that our Heavenly Father on this earth as Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Messiah, made mention that his sheep hear his voice. His sheep hear his voice. So for those of you who condemn, be careful. If that brother or sister hears the voice of our Master and is in obedience to his law, and you condemn them, you have put yourself in great jeopardy. So just remember that, okay, folks? Also, I want to say kudos to Eurofolk Radio, which we talked about when it first had come up, and then about a year later when I was asked to be part of it, we wanted it to be the go-to place for truth. And lo and behold, it pretty much has become that. And we're talking about whole truth. Just like in holistic medicine, it brings the spiritual in as well as the physical and metaphysical into the healing of the body, which is what Yahweh intended. And so Eurofolk Radio and its many hosts, and I'm glad to see Pastor Steve starting Monday at 9 a.m. We'll have a Monday through Friday program here at EFR. So congratulations to Pastor Steve, who is a frequent guest of Pastor Eli's. So great job, guys. Great job. Again, Eurofolk Radio is where you go when you want to get the whole truth, where we talk about not just the political. I mean, the political nightmare going on today is obvious to, unless you're stone cold stupid, it's pretty obvious to everybody. It's just disintegrating. Okay. But we talk about the forbidden subjects, such as race, true history or historicity. We talk about biblical concepts, the law, who Yahshua truly was, who Yahweh is, etc. We talk about all that. We bring that all together, and I believe that's why listenership here at EFR has been spiking upwards considerably of late. And praise Yahweh for that. We welcome all of our brothers and sisters who are finally shaking the dust from their heads and the coverings from their eyes, and they're able to perceive, they're able to discern much better than they had. I just finished a 3-week hiatus, and as many of you have known, my emailing and contacting and radio shows have been spotty at best, but that's because I was on a very long journey of about 3 weeks, and it covered just short of 3,800 miles. So to say that I was a busy boy is an understatement. But in that travel, 3,800 miles all over the eastern part of the United States, I got to talk to an awful lot of people, both friends and family, but also strangers. Strangers in the sense that I did not know them. They were Israelites, but they were not previously known to me. And it's a consensus that this nation is in deep, deep trouble. It's also a consensus that we have jumped the tracks, I guess is the term I'm looking for. Morally speaking, we have jumped the tracks in this nation, and we must get it back. So I got some quotes here I want to read, but also an announcement. I normally do not leave the chat window open, but today I thought for a change I would do that. And I know we get a lot of trolls, and I apologize, but I am not going to sit here and monitor that thing and try to keep the trolls out. If somebody has a comment or question for me, as guest number two had done, please put it as Pastor space Dan in front of your comment or question so that I can see it quickly when I look at that window. Other than that, I am not going to spend much time on that window. I'm leaving it open as a way for you to get a comment or question if it's pertinent to the topic at this point in time. But I am not going to monitor it continuously. I just don't have the wherewithal to do that. If you wish to help us financially, you can go to our website. There's also a lot of articles there, suggested websites, etc., and that's at www.byyahwehsdesign.com. Also, if you wish to contact me, the email is bydpastordan, and that's all together, at yahoo.com. Okay, our quotes haven't changed because I want it burned into your psyche. Thomas Jefferson said, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. And you're so right, Thomas. The next quote is Thomas Paine, who said, the strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance. Now, in case you don't quite understand what he's saying there, is the enemy, the Edomites, the Jews, the communist Bolshevik Khazars that they are, the Khazarian cabal, some people call them, neocons is another code word for this Jewish Zionist cabal. They spend a lot of their time and money with their control over the mass media, particularly the Talmud vision. You call it television, but I call it Talmud vision. They spend an awful lot of time and money to keep you in fear. That's why we call it fear porn. Fear porn everywhere today. Everywhere. so that even the elect at times scratch their heads and are beginning to wonder what's going on. But please remember, Messiah told us very clearly that in the end of the age, the deception would be so great that even his elect would be deceived, if it were possible. Praise be to Yahweh. It is not possible to deceive the elect for a couple reasons. One, we know our strength and salvation lies in our relationship to our Father. The enemy cannot penetrate that. Only you, folks, can destroy the connection to your Father in heaven. The enemy cannot penetrate that relationship. It also cannot penetrate, nor scan, nor surveil, nor spy on the communications by the Holy Spirit. So in this day and age, when everybody's communicating via the net and over the airwaves and EMF waves of microwave antennas, etc., where the enemy has figured out ways to spy on you, and they're not telling you. If you think for 1 minute that these bastards care what the Constitution says or even the laws generated by Congress, then you truly are dumber than a box of rocks. If they can do it, they are doing it. Oh, they may have some smoke and mirror dog and pony show in Congress or some congressional oversight committee where they're acting all noble and just totally upset at what our intelligence agencies and Department of Homeland Security. What a joke that is, by the way. Department of Homeland Security. Well, unless, of course, the homeland you're talking about is Israel. Well, then it fits. But homeland meaning the United States of America? Well, that's the biggest joke of the day. So I find it quite interesting that my communications to my Father cannot be tapped into. The communications to my brothers and sisters, the true believers, the people of great faith and spiritual believers, the communications from Father to them cannot be tapped nor spied upon. And since we have a single source of command here, namely Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, then the troops are getting their orders directly from the commander. And there's no way the enemy can figure it out. I find that to be absolutely phenomenal. Hallelujah. In this day and age, when they've got everybody jumping around in social media and emails and everything else, thinking they have some form of privacy, when you and I know that just does not exist. I've known it for years. In fact, I'm hoping they are watching and listening in, because I have news for them. They are condemned already. You see, the commander gives instructions to his children and his prophets. He makes it known through the prophets before it comes to pass, so that the word might go out to the world, to his children all over this Eretz, this plane called Earth. That word will go out preceding the event. How long has Pastor Eli, Pastor Steve, when he's able to do it, now that he is free from the dungeons of the beast, he is unleashed upon the enemy in full strength. And many, many more. David and Laura and on. Andy over there in England. Paul in England. And hallelujah for the workmen. Hallelujah, Yahweh watches over his children. And the commander gives the marching orders. The commander gives the word, and the word goes forth. And there's nothing they can do about it. They can whine and they can moan, typical of what Jews do. They can belittle it. They can try to outspend. And yet they can't do a damn thing about it. Obadiah 18 will come to pass. The prophecies of Daniel and all the other major and minor prophets and Revelation will come to pass. Babylon shall burn in a short period of time. Very quickly. Once it starts, very quickly. In Yahweh's time, not necessarily ours. You know, for us, a short period of time might be 10 minutes or an hour. In Yahweh's time, it might be a decade. But in eternity, compared to eternity, that's a damn short period of time, isn't it? The point of it is, it's our Father's time. And who, John, who penned those words as directed by the Holy Spirit, chose the Greek terms that means in a short period of time. But it is not definitive as to how much time that is. As we watch this Babylonian money system just implode lately, it's happening very quickly. The awakening of the Anglo-Saxon Israelite peoples is all of a sudden ramping up very, very quickly. The patriotism, and I'm talking true patriotism, which is to the people and the Constitution, not the government. That is a lie. There is no oath of office. There is no oath of a military or man in uniform that covers loyalty to criminal government. Only despots, only tyrants would push or say such a anti-biblical statement. Not only anti-biblical, anti-historical. Go back and reread the history books, the true history books of how this country got started. So the updates are that there's a lot of things going on. And we need to hang tight as a family together and hang tight to our Heavenly Father. Just remember to not be in fear of resisting evil. It was suggested to me that maybe the Israelites need to form a group called the Sons of Yahweh. I guess they got the idea from the show called the Sons of Anarchy, in the sense that they operated that way, but it was also built upon the workings of the German Waffen-SS. And here again, you've been programmed to have an initial response as soon as the word German comes out, and most especially if there's anything relating to World War II, such as the Waffen-SS. You're conditioned on how you respond because the enemy knows that you're probably not going to do any research and that their propaganda will work, like it did on most of my generation. We were told that Mein Kampf was a terrible book about a madman's desire to conquer the world. Well, you carry that forward because most of us are too damn stupid and lazy to pick up a book and actually read it. We would rather the Jewish-controlled major media or Jewish-dominated publishing houses of textbooks, we would much better let those Edomite Jews do our thinking for us. But when a son or daughter of Yahweh actually gets the courage and the wherewithal to do the research for themselves, they get quite an education. And so it was for me over 30 years ago when I bought my unedited copy of Mein Kampf, and I read it for myself, and I came to find out that they had lied about the entire thing. Just like when I bought the book, The History of the Waffen-SS, and I started reading it. And lately I've read the works of Mike Walsh and Mike King. Pseudonyms, by the way. Mike King, anyway, is a pseudonym or a pen name that he goes by. But they have put forth great articles about the true history of all of World War II, But most in particular, I found interesting the Waffen-SS. And why is that? Because Waffen is a German word for armed. Armed. And the SS basically was sort of like a secret police, only it was not the KGB and the henchmen or the Cheka that murdered people, dragging them from their beds at night. True to the Jews and the way they do things, they attributed to the Germans, particularly the Waffen-SS, they attributed to those organizations the things that the Bolsheviks were doing, not the Germans. Typical of a Jew, he will accuse those around him of doing nasty and dirty things when 99% of the time, those are the activities of the Jew, and not the people that they have accused. And so again, I'm sort of rambling on, but the idea of the Sons of Yahweh would be built upon the same premises and the same organization as the Waffen-SS, because they were very, very strict, very professional soldiers. In fact, even the Russians during World War II and the Allies during World War II admitted that the Waffen-SS were the best soldiers to take the field. Hands down, the best soldiers. Best disciplined, best equipped, best morality. In every category you can imagine of analyzing the behavior of a soldier, the Waffen-SS excelled. Including discipline. They were highly disciplined. There's one story that goes that a Waffen-SS soldier stole a cigarette from a fellow SS soldier, and he was reprimanded severely and told that if it happened again, he would be stricken from the ranks of the Waffen-SS. For stealing a single cigarette. And look at the mess we've got going on today. And yet you're going to try to tell me that these guys were no good or they did the things the Jews accuse them of. And no, it's not true. This came out on an email here not too long ago. Unity is an action, not a word. Unity is an action. Action, not a word. Bible verse for this morning is Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of Yahweh, Elohim God. The expanse shows his handiwork. Day after day they pour out speech, and night after night they display knowledge. Hallelujah. Absolutely. So, also, again, a reminder that we will have the chat window open if anybody has a, right here, somebody. John says, Dan, didn't a lot of early American settlers claim to have Native American blood to make a legit claim to the land? They didn't need to do that, really, but no. The proof is in the artwork from the period. The proof is in the writings, historical writings, or if you do any research into the way they built their huts, or not huts, but their homes, their villages, the layout of their villages, their burial mounds, the artifacts that were found in the burial mounds, and it goes on and on and on. In fact, the Native Americans throughout the region of Kentucky, Tennessee, and that area there spoke Gaelic. You can go to the library and get a book called The Tennessee, and you will find in there that it talks about a Welshman who had come to this country as a pilgrim and was captured by the Indians, and he was led back to the village, and he was tied up to a pole, and the villagers, the Indians were sitting around talking to each other about what they should do with this stranger that had entered their territory. And all of a sudden, the Welshmen spoke up and answered them, since they were speaking Welsh. To the astonishment of the Indians, they ask him, "How do you know our tongue? You don't dress like we do. You know, I'm sure by then they didn't look exactly the same. But yet here you are speaking perfect Welsh to us, or at least close enough to be understandable." And at that point, they looked at each other and said, this guy speaks our language, and somehow we got to be related. We're going to have to let him go. And so they did. And that's how the story ended up in the book called The Tennessee. And there's many, many other proofs and evidences to prove this. So there may have been some people claiming Native American heritage to steal somebody's property. And who could that be? Let's see. They came here to steal, to kill, and to rob, and to commit murder, thievery. By war, by deception, thou shalt make war. Let's see. That's the saying over the Israeli Mossad. So who would it be that claimed Indian blood in order to steal property? Oh, I guess it would have been Jews. Perhaps there were some Jews that snuck in here early on. But not the Israelite people. Israelite people, for one thing, always have the attributes of being loving, caring, sharing people. If you don't have those attributes, you're not an Israelite. I'm sorry, but you're not. You haven't got the spirit of the Creator dwelling within you if you're not a loving, caring, and sharing person. You just don't. You just don't. You're a white man who's maybe got some of the DNA right, but you sure don't have the spiritual aspect right. Father's children exemplify Father. Father didn't create this world for chaos. He didn't create this world to see it turn into the hellhole that it has become because the Israelites are too damn stupid and lazy to unite and destroy the wicked. That's what we were put here for, to tend the garden, to make the garden a paradise for all that reside in the garden. We were the enforcers, and we've allowed elements of our people who are driven by greed. Because the Jew cannot connive his way into our homes, into our hearts, into our minds if we don't love money. Because it's money that they use to subvert us. Money. What did Scripture say? The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is the root. As my grandfather would tell me as a little boy, Danny, if you're not sure what's going on in this world, just follow the money. It will tell you who's doing what and why they are doing it. For instance, Monsanto, that's been in the news lately, and praise Yahweh, their stock is falling and they're in trouble because people are starting to figure out that these companies, Jewish owned, of course, Monsanto, they are poisoning us. And they do it for a double reason. The Jews do anyway. Yes, they're doing it for monetary gain, of course. But they're also the children of Satan, and he hates us. He hates anything that's of the Father. Anything of the Father. And so, yes, they hate us, for sure. Anyway, I hope that answered that question. Let me see if there's any other. Okay, I don't see any. Now, another thing that's going on recently, and I just got this update this morning, is there are more staged events, at least the appearance of staged events happening right now. Here in the state of Florida, up near Orlando, there was a nightclub, apparently a shooting, And I was told that it was a hangout of homosexuals. That I do not know. I was just told that. However, there are, I believe, 20 people dead and places covered with all kinds of alphabet soup. And there was a drill planned up in that area recently. Here's the other one, though. Pay attention to this one. Fenway Park. Fenway Park is covered with special ops, alphabet soup, local police, state police, etc. Eyewitnesses who reported to my friend that live in the area said it reminded them of the Boston Marathon incident, another false flag, where all kinds of law enforcement is on the scene even before the, quote, event. And just as it was in Boston, there are exercises, military and or law enforcement drills being planned, even for today. Be careful if you're in that area, my brothers and sisters. Because as one person told me, there may be an effort to build a new stadium there. And since the people of Boston and the people of Massachusetts are pretty tied to Fenway Park with no desire to see that stadium torn down, from what I'm hearing, this would be a way for Jewish lightning to strike exactly the way it did on 9/11 for the Twin Towers in building number 7. Silverstein and his Jewish partners bought the buildings, wanted to erect new buildings, but why should they spend their trillions of dollars when they can bilk the insurance companies who further bilk us to pay for their $7.4 billion windfall from the destruction of the towers. Now, I'm not saying I have a crystal ball here. I'm just pointing out some facts. You can draw your own conclusions. Also reported as of yesterday, a major earthquake in California. Why would that be significant? Because those of our flock who monitor such things have been telling me for quite some time, there's a lot of activity up and down the western coasts of North, Central, and South America, pointing to a major eruption, either a major earthquake in the Pacific or a land-based earthquake and possible eruption of the three major volcanoes up in the northwestern part of North America. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm simply passing on information. And what you do with it is your business. Now, I have to I have to stop here for just a second and answer a call, if you will just bear with me and let me play some music till I take care of this, and then I'll be right back.
Sturm, Mächte und Mut. Ihr
Okay, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed it. That's a Swedish song. If you were able to go online and get the lyrics from it, I'm sure you would agree that it's a tremendous, tremendous song. Again, Gott mit uns, or Gott mit uns, which means God with us. In fact, kind of interestingly, the Germans on their daggers had the expression Gott mit uns engraved on their daggers. But they were secularists and atheists and occultists, weren't they? But all kinds of medals, all kinds of awards, all kinds of speeches say quite the opposite. What haven't they lied to us about? That's kind of what I'm curious to find out. What have they not lied to us about these days? Everything is a lie. It's unbelievable. And again, I want to remind folks that if you do go to the chat window, again, I am not there to supervise it. I don't even look at it very often, but occasionally do to see if there is a legitimate question or comment. But typically, it's the trolls that come into those kind of things, and you know what kind of work they do. So, or I should say, what kind of disruptions they cause. They actually don't contribute anything. It was told to me yesterday by a fellow Legionnaire, veteran, who is currently active duty, that this transgender perversion has eked its way into the United States military. Now, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but the United States military leadership, well, do we dare use that term? Because I'm not so sure they have leaders anymore. They've got yes men. They have those who have acquiesced to their Zionist masters in Washington at the Pentagon. But to call them leaders, I think we give them too much credit. How about we just say the people in uniform at the highest levels have dictated that if a soldier wakes up in the morning and feels the feminine side come out, that they're authorized to wear the women's uniform. Now, I about fell out of my chair laughing when I heard that one. But that's where we're going, folks. And you wonder why we haven't won a major conflict in recent history. Oh, I know, and I'm not trying to disparage the men and women in uniform. Most of them don't even know what's going on at the top. But those of us who pay attention, those of us who listen to talk radio, read alternative media, etc., we know. And I would pray that the brothers and sisters in uniform would wake up sooner or later. But this is an absolutely ludicrous decision. But you have to understand that we have treason at work in this country. And praise Yahweh, a lot of veterans are waking up, both retired and active duty, to the lunacy and treason. Because they're setting up our men and women in uniform for failure. Not for success, for failure. We don't even make most of the material, both clothing and hardware, that our military uses. Critical components of what we need aren't even made here in the United States any longer. The Jews have done their work. I'm sure their father Satan is howling with laughter at the stupidity and culpability of the people in Washington and the Pentagon to go along with their children so easily, even when it smacks of treason and outright stupidity. I predicted this was going to happen not this specific event, but the downfall and destruction of our military way back when they said, we're going to give everybody black berets because why should special forces only be allowed to have a black beret? You're making other members of the military feel bad. Aw, you poor souls. Those guys go through all that special training and those hard, hard ordeals to become special forces and maintain that rank and that status. And yes, they deserve a recognition such as the Black Beret used to represent. They deserve it. And if you have not done what they did, you don't deserve it. And if that makes you feel bad, great. You should feel bad because you don't have what it takes. I don't think I could do it. I was a regular airman. If I'd have been asked, do you want to become part of the special forces? I probably would have turned it down because I was an electronics geek. My specialty, the thing that made me feel proud, energized me, was being able to take a ALT-28 electronic jamming transmitter and fix it, tune it, calibrate it, and put it back on a B-52 bomber so that it could jam the enemy's radar. That's what made my day. Now, I dare say there's some special forces guys would have a hard time troubleshooting one of those 147-pound boxes. But I could do it. So that was my calling. But I couldn't go through the rigors of what they did. My heart wouldn't have been in it. And so therefore, I don't deserve a black beret. And for those of you like me, you don't deserve one either. Now, I did have a master technician patch that a special forces person cannot get. Us electronic geeks could get those when we had zero failures of our equipment over a set period of time, which was very difficult to do, by the way, considering the quality control standards of the day. Today, maybe not so, but back then it was a rare thing to see that patch. My point being, we give special recognition to those who perform above and beyond the norm because they deserve that. It's what we work for. Can everybody get it? No. It doesn't mean that they're looked down upon. It's a way of rewarding those who take the extra effort, walk the extra mile, because it's those people who lead us, especially when there's trouble. Do you want your leaders to be the feel-good guys that got their awards and their black beret and their titles in Washington or at the Pentagon because they sucked up to the right person? Do you want them to lead you into battle? The people that got their noses so far up the rear ends of the Jews that they don't know if it's day or night. Do you want them to lead you into battle? Or do you want a General George S. Patton or Douglas MacArthur? Or General Robert E. Lee? You see the difference, people? Stop buying into this Jewish cabal's BS. They are destroying our military. They are also behind this ludicrous idea of females being in combat units. I'm sorry. When I say ludicrous, I'm being kind. It has got to be one of the dumbest and stupidest things I've ever heard of. But here again, that seems to be the norm today, doesn't it? One of the other things that came to my attention of late is the large number of people. Again, my travels covered 3,800 miles. So I got to talk to quite a few people. There's a lot of civilians and a lot of veterans talking about the fact that many of these high-level military people and politicians and non-governmental organization leaders and the PACs, etc., that control our little quacks in Charlottesville and Washington, that these people need to be arrested, put on trial, and if convicted of treason, executed. Now, some people might say, well, talk is cheap. Yes, it is cheap. Would any of these people that made mention of these kind of things actually get off their sofas and shut off their TVs long enough to grab the rope and their rifle and make this happen? I have no idea of knowing. None of us do, really. It's just like the soldier before he goes into that first active combat situation. Nobody really knows for sure how they're going to behave under fire. And the case is for this as well. Nobody really knows. But here's what's significant. Just as Donald Trump, do I believe he's a man of honor and would do everything he says? Not particularly. He was a product of the very groups that we are railing against these days. For him to go against his masters and those that he has rubbed shoulders with for so long, pretty hard for me to believe. Could it happen? Oh, yes, it could happen. Will it happen? Not so sure about that. However, what's important in the area of Donald Trump is exactly why what I just said about these civilians and veterans and their call for arrests and trials. It's significant because the common people are talking about it. As Pastor Eli and the many hosts here at Eurofolk Radio can attest, that's not happened in recent times. We, the watchmen on the wall, have been beating the drum and sounding the alarm for decades. Pastor Eli and I have been on the radio. My show has been on for almost 17 years, and he's very close to that. In fact, Pastor Eli is a prolific watchman on the wall. He'll go anywhere, attend any gathering, go on any talk show, any radio show. He has two or three programs here at EFR, so he's prolific. And they will attest that this has not been a phenomenon until lately. So is Donald Trump and his rhetoric part of this great awakening, or is it the Watchmen, or could it be a combination thereof? The Father told us that at the end of the age he'd pour his Spirit upon all flesh. His Spirit upon all flesh. Now, did he mean literally all flesh or only his children's flesh? That isn't very clear. We know it's his children for sure. And interestingly enough, the people making the most noise about the arresting of these criminals and taking back our nation is coming from Yahweh's people. But to say that there are not people of other races who also feel the anger, remorse, righteous indignation of an Israelite, there are. Now, granted, they're not the majority, maybe. They certainly don't add up to the numbers of the Israelites that are feeling this way, but they do exist. I've met them, and I've talked to them. In fact, Pastor James David Manning, the black preacher in Harlem, who has a PhD, educated man, has a very large ministry out of Harlem, It was he who said that this country is doomed if the white people don't rise up and take it back. And he said that his congregation should join him in prayer that the whites rise up and take it back. He said also, besides praying for that, that he would also assist if he were allowed to. Why is that significant? Does it sound like the woman with the sick child in the book of Matthew? She was not an Israelite. She wanted a blessing from Messiah. In fact, she was so annoying in her demand for blessings that the apostles, the disciples, came up to Messiah and said, "Master, please send this person away." Basically saying, she is annoying. Yahshua did not say or do anything towards the woman. He looked at the disciples and said, "It is not good to give the children's meat or blessings to dogs." Imagine that. That's in the New Testament. You Judeo-Christians, are you paying attention? Messiah ignored her, looked at his disciples, and basically said, "Why are you asking me to bless this woman when she is a dog?" A dog is a biblical term for a non-Israelite, a non-white. So the Jesus that's been created by the mainstream churchianity churches today tells you that he's a God of love and just adores everybody. He came to save the world. He came to save everybody with a head and two arms and two legs because he just loves everybody. All so much love. And yet right there in the book of Matthew, it says something quite different. And it was when she said, "Yes, I am a dog." Pastor Manning said, "Yes, I am a black man." She said, "Don't dogs deserve the crumbs from their master's table? Don't we non-Israelites deserve a blessing if we obey and accept Yahweh's hierarchy in this world?" Pastor Manning said the equivalent in his sermon. Yes, we are here by the grace of God in a nation that tolerates us, unlike the rest of the world that has not tolerated the antics of the black races. They have tolerated us for decades upon decades upon decades. They shower us with entitlement money. No other nation would be so stupid as to do such a thing. But here in America, the whites have done that. And you, my black brothers and sisters, are abusing that gift. He is very outspoken about his fellow blacks and what they are doing and the mistakes they are making. He's also very outspoken about the absolutely atrocious behavior and the ethnicity of the current occupant in the White House. He is also a staunch anti-homosexual. So here again, does Pastor Manning and his congregation of black people deserve a crumb from the table of the Israelites? What does it say? Those who bless Abraham shall be blessed, and those that curse Abraham shall be cursed. Just saying, you folks out there, especially you racialists, You've got the racial aspect right, but you've left out the loving, caring, sharing attributes of a child of Yahweh. Oh, that doesn't mean we're to be weak. It doesn't mean to turn my cheek to a non-Israelite. It doesn't mean to become a doormat to be walked on by other races. Absolutely not. But by the same token, it does not give us a license to harm, to abuse other people based upon race. The only exception of that, of course, would be Jews, because Christ had nothing but condemnation of those people, warned us to be careful of their blasphemies, their hypocrisy, the works that they do. They, on the other hand, deserve no kindness from us, none whatsoever. They are to be looked upon as Satan's kids. They are liars. They are deceivers. They are murderers. They are spies. For instance, the greatest spies in the history of this nation have all been Jews. Mr. Pollard is one of the most recent. Ethel Rosenberg and her husband were executed in the 30s, I believe it was, for their spying on, and there's been many more. When the towers came down and the Israeli Jews were filming the whole thing, that day they were arrested, as well as 200 Israeli spies, Israeli agents. 200 were rounded up by our intelligence agencies and then let go to return to It's a Lie. Who, and I say again, who within the American government, the Pentagon, and our intelligence agencies authorized over 200 of these suspects in the greatest act of terror ever committed, a crime committed in this country? Who had the authority to send them on planes back to It's a Lie? Or by boat. I'm not sure how they went back. Plane or boat. Doesn't matter. They were released when they were part of the greatest crime ever committed. Who had the authority to have those buildings destroyed and the metal taken away and melted down and turned into a battleship, turned into a warship? And Americans, the dumbasses that we are, we hailed that because it was named in the honor of the innocents. I'm sure the Jews at the synagogue that day laughed their asses off. These stupid white people, we just destroyed evidence of the worst act of terror ever committed. We destroyed that evidence, melted it down, turned it into a battleship that more white people can die on, and they are praising it. Instead of rounding us up and executing us for treason and murder, they're actually applauding our destruction of evidence. You know, my dad told me a long time ago, he said, Danny, the American people get the exact kind of government they deserve. And at that time, I was quite a bit younger. I thought that was kind of a callous thing for him to say. The American people get the government they deserve. In other words, if the American people want to remain ignoramuses, glued to their television screens, slopping up the GMO food and the poisonous dyes and sugars and everything else that's destroying their bodies, allowing treason to exist within the halls of government and the Pentagon, to allow treason to exist and aliens to have taken over our government. It's our government, meaning a white nation. It should be white people. And I don't see very many white men with testosterone still in their veins in Washington or even in the Pentagon. Where are they? Why have we become an alien nation? Because the people who founded this nation had children, and those children had children, and each successive generation became lazier, dumber, more apathetic than the generation before. Until now, as Yahweh says in Scripture, His remnant is but a handful. I believe it's the book of Romans. It says, My flock is a tiny flock. The road that leads to the salvation that I bring, and that's not the salvation taught by the churches. It's the salvation from physical harm here and now. That's what the Greek word means. The road to salvation is narrow, and few travel thereon. A good way to illustrate this is in the area of natural health. Since so many people tune you out as soon as you start talking about religion, because they, after all, think that they're going to get to heaven by just being a good person. Even though when I ask them, who determines what's good? They're not quite sure how to answer that. So let's talk about something else. Let's talk about a neutral subject, at least for a lot of people, and that is health and nutrition. Just like my studies into the scriptures, I've also taken the courses and done a lot of studying in natural health, nutrition, organics. Enough so that I can determine pretty well what's good for us to eat and what isn't. And I'm blessed to have people within my sphere of influence who are even more arduous in their training and in their studies as to what is fit to eat. My point being is, just as the scriptures reveal things to us that provide salvation from harm, the teachers of the naturopathic schools provide information to protect your body from harm by the use of nutritious diet and prevention. Remember Benjamin Franklin, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It's a whole lot easier if you get into the prevention mode than it is trying to fix something once it's broke. You can ask my 28-year-old nephew as he struggles with cancer. After he's already had a partial hip replacement, a tumor around his neck that had eaten away the bone to where he nearly broke his neck before it was discovered. He could have died, of course. And he is in the process of fighting that cancer right now. Or I should say the tumors, because cancer is a made-up word, just like Jew is a made-up word. What does it really mean? Cancer doesn't really exist. It's a term the doctors give, because when you do that, you create a boogeyman that turns on the fear factor, and people will do pretty much whatever the medical community says without question, because they are scared, literally scared to death. So here again, do you want an ounce of prevention, or do you go with the pound of cure like my nephew? Like many of my friends, family, and anybody that would listen, those of us who know the natural ways of things have been trying to tell them for years that what the scripture says is clean to eat and unclean is true. The teachers in these schools verified the truth of scripture when it said, stay away from these foods. And wasn't it amazing that the list of foods that these instructors were giving us to stay away from if you want optimum health were the very foods that the Bible says to stay away from? The Bible also says that your body is a temple and you're to guard what you put in it, both what you put in it via your eyes and ears, meaning what you see and what you read and what you hear, but also what comes into it through your mouth, because both of them can harm you. False doctrine can harm you, and poisons and GMO foods, high fructose corn syrup, monosodium glutamate, and the list goes on and on and on. Is there a way out? Sure there is. The scripture shows the way out in the world of faith. The naturopathic schools show the way out when it comes to diet and nutrition. But my point is, how many people follow that narrow path? It seems as plain as day to me why somebody would choose anything other than to do the right thing is beyond me. I don't understand it. I cannot understand it. Why you would not want to take care of this temple and treat it properly, as the scripture makes painfully clear, I just don't understand it. But by the same token, I can't understand how somebody can turn away from my Heavenly Father. How can you turn away from the truths that are contained in that word when it is properly translated? How can you turn away from the truths that are written on your heart, but you choose to ignore them? You choose to believe the lie of the Jew versus the conscience that's telling you the right thing to do, because you worship money. Because you worship other false gods called promotions, or a big house, or a bonus that might come your way if you keep your mouth shut. As the whistleblowers at the CDC are now saying about these vaccines, and that the testing that they did to show vaccines did not affect the children, were falsified. Imagine that. That's got Jewish fingerprints all over it. Who owns the major manufacturing companies of the pharmaceuticals, which includes the vaccines? Yep. Satan's kids, laughing all the way to the bank, while your child suffers from autism or other ailments caused by the poisons. When your body is your greatest defense mechanism, your immune system is the most perfect defense tool ever created. You know, a lot of people thought I was really crazy years ago when everybody was running out and getting vaccines and doing these crazy things. As soon as the fear porn would come out about Zika or Ebola or Aryan flu, I mean, it was endless. Of course, the Jewish pharmaceuticals always would come up with a vaccine fairly quickly that you goyim should run down there and stick into your veins. Well, while the rest of the sheep are doing that, I told all my friends, I don't lose one night's sleep worrying about these damn Jews and their fear porn and their, quote, so-called boogeymen called viruses, mosquitoes, you name it. And they'd say, well, why? And I said, because I work at keeping my immune system running at 100%. No, I'm not perfect. Never claimed to be perfect. But I will put my faith in my Father and into the wisdom of the naturopathic doctors and into the design of my immune system. And knock on wood, praise Yahweh. So far, it's worked pretty darn good. Let me put it this way. It's worked every bit as good as the rest of y'all that are running out there putting all the poisons in your body. But unlike the rest of the folks I've talked to over the years, I'm not on any medication. I have no artificial joints. I have no defects that I know of. I have to watch my salt. I have to watch the amount of food I eat these days compared to when I was younger. But those are common sense fixes and relatively easy to do. And the benefit for that is that I have very little expense. But then again, That's why the Jews want you doing it, because they make money. They make money selling you the garbage that you're pumping into your bodies, and they make money when you get sick and ill and need a hip replacement, a knee replacement, an ankle replacement. Or as my one friend that I worked with for years, I just come to find out that he had lost his right foot and recently lost his left leg just below the hip. Why? Diet, kidney failure, infection, gangrene. Did he do any of the things recommended to him to prevent that stuff from happening? No, he did not. No, he did not. And just as our Heavenly Father calls out to all of mankind to come back to him, to come back to common sense, come back to righteousness, come back to the truth, come back to doing your duty with honor, to be an Aryan people, meaning a noble race. And yet so few heed the call. And because of that, judgment will come upon this earth. Relatively soon. Scripture tells us he will start at the house of Israel, the Jacob people. Who are the people being wounded the most by the antics of the non-white races and the fear porn and the wars and everything else? Take a look at the numbers. The white race has been almost decimated. So some people say, well, no, we got to go through that in the future. You know, all that stuff that's in Revelations in the future. Really? So this isn't tribulation. What I see my white brothers and sisters going through as they fall into drug abuse, as they fall into gorging themselves on Franken food, as I see them pumping their bodies full of toxins and poisons called vaccines and other such nonsense, as I see them going to hospitals in wheelchairs to have knees and hips and hearts and other organs replaced, as I see them fall on battlefield after battlefield in these make-believe wars that never end, as I see the birth rate fall and fall and fall to where we are less than 8% of this world, when we used to be the most prolific race on the face of Eretz, that's not tribulation? Or the persecution you suffer when you try to teach Yahweh's truths to people, when you mention to them about the food laws, and all you hear is ridicule. When you tell them that his name is Yahweh and what it means, or you tell them that that lying preacher behind that pulpit is just a prostitute. The television is nothing but prostitutes. Major media, mainstream media, they're all whores. And they look at you and laugh as if, well, they wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. Or as my relatives used to say, well, Danny, if what you said is true, it'd be on the evening news. How gullible and naive is that? You see my point, folks? We curse Monsanto and the rest of the Jewish or Jewish-owned companies who create such things. Running out of time, go online and check out eSword for a free study program. It's a very, very powerful program that's out there. I have told people over and over again, if you have not read it, you need to read the book Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America by Thomas W. Chittum. C-H-I-T-T-U-M. Chittum. Don't have time to go into some of the details in that. And again, be careful for anybody in the area of Fenway Park, especially today and over the next few days. A lot of suspicious activities. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask you to forgive us our sins. We ask you to be with us and guide us in all that we say and do. We ask for an awakening to come. We ask for proper discernment in all things, especially in the consideration of how many lies there are. And Father, please cover us with your feathers and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.